In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory to Jesus Christ.
Glory to God.
Brothers and sisters, today is a special day. It's a very special day. We have just witnessed the baptism and the chrismation of little Theodosia, the newest member of our parish community, the newest member of the body of Christ, the newest living stone in the Lord's glorious temple, the newest citizen of his heavenly kingdom. It is a joyous day for us, greatly joyous. The sacrament that we witnessed in holy baptism is one which is very countercultural, very much against the practice of today's society. And actually, it's always been countercultural, because the way of Christ has always been foolishness to the world. But especially, we see this in today's day and age, where people are departing from the life of Christ. That people are leaving the Lord behind, as they would perhaps an earthly leader that they've been disenchanted with, that hasn't given them what they were looking for. But we have to remember what leaving the Lord behind actually means for us. Because who is this Lord Jesus Christ but the one true God? What does he reveal to us but true divinity? But he's not only just the one true God, but he also becomes the true man who reveals to us true humanity. St. Paul says that in Christ, the fullness of the Godhead dwelt bodily. In Christ, we see the God-man, true God and true man. And in Christ, we see our destiny, not only to be united with God, but also to become who we are meant to become truly human in Christ. To find our destiny not in what we do or what happens to us, but in who we become through participation in the life of Christ. This is what our society is walking away from. An ancient father, a venerable monastic of our church, St. Dorotheus of Gaza, he spoke to pilgrims who came to him, and he stooped down and he drew a circle in the sand. And in the center of that circle, he put a cross. And he said to the pilgrims, if you want to come close to God, you have to realize that you are standing on the perimeter of that circle. And you need to walk inward towards God. You need to come closer to him. And in so doing, you'll also become closer to one another. You'll experience the kingdom of heaven, which is love for God and love for one's neighbor. But you have to walk towards the center. You have to move towards the middle. You have to go to the focal point of all creation, Christ, who unites heaven and earth. This is a wonderful image for us to consider, especially today on this day where we have the baptism of little Theodosia. Baptism literally means immersion. Right? That's what baptism means, immersion. An immersion in the baptismal fonts, in those hallowed waters, but immersion especially in the life of God. Baptism is the beginning of walking into the mystery of the cross, our union with God in Christ, and our union with one another. Baptism begins this life of immersion. I mentioned today's society that is walking away from the Lord, that is not interested, not just in baptism, but interested in a life that is immersed in Christ. Which is something we see that leads to great dissatisfaction among the people. Because if you're not walking towards the one who's true God and true man, if you're not walking towards perfection in life and in virtue and in holiness and in every good thing, you're walking in a different direction. You're following a different leader. And you will not find your personal destiny. You will not become the person you're meant to be. and will be left with great frustration, anger, disappointment. Our nation right now is in the midst of a presidential election. I know it's everyone's favorite thing, this time of year, or really years, how long these things drag out, in which people are following those who want to lead this nation, presidential candidates. And there's much excitement and enthusiasm, but you know what you see even more today? In a nation that has turned its back on Christ and followed other leaders, you see great disappointment. Look at the candidates that are running for this great office of leadership. Look at their approval rating. There are no other people who have run for office in the history of the United States who are more disliked than the two candidates that we have before us. Why is that? Is it because of them individually? Or is it because of something much greater and much more profound? I submit to you that it's bigger than them. They are simply the selection that we have chosen because we have walked away from Christ. And we are going to be disappointed with any substitute. It's not their fault. It's our fault. What they promised to us is so much against baptism and immersion and life in Christ. They promised to us secularism, which is the limiting of the Christian faith into a tiny little box. It has no interaction with the rest of real life. You could do it Sunday morning, but don't you dare bring it to the workplace, to the marketplace. Don't you dare bring it to the educational system, to the schools, to the courts. Don't you dare bring it anywhere. They're offering to us secularism, not immersion. And they offer to us relativism. What is relativism? But anything goes. What I think is as good as what you think. As good as what you think. And even though we could all be thinking something entirely different and contradictory, they're all equally good. They're all equally the same. There is no absolute truth. This is what's being offered to us. Instead of immersion in truth, we are immersed in any other thing. And of course, materialism. Materialism sometimes is seen as the idea that the only thing that exists is the body, not the soul. And this, of course, is atheism. The idea that God doesn't exist. But materialism is much more subtly dangerous than that. Materialism is what the Lord speaks about when he says you can't serve two masters. You can't serve God and mammon. Because you would love one and hate the other, serve one and despise the other. Materialism is the idea that we can be about this creation rather than the Creator. That this is our focus. And it's so subtly deceptive. Now, I know some may be thinking, well, you know, Father John, this is not really a problem for us. You know, it doesn't really affect us. I tell you, to the measure in which we don't think it affects us and we don't think it's a problem for us, that's the degree that we are duped by it. That is the degree that we are enslaved by it and don't even realize it. Secularism, relativism, and materialism are rampant. And if we don't think so, it's because we're bound by them. What is the answer to this, other than Jesus Christ and immersion into his life? But what do we see in American Christianity? Let's pause for a moment. As we examine the world, let's also examine ourselves. What we see in people who are supposed to be following Christ. And we'll work our way to the Orthodox. We'll start, though, with the non-Orthodox who are Christians. Now, I was watching a video this week on my Facebook feed. It popped up and it talked about what it is to be a practicing Catholic. And we'll get to the Orthodox, don't worry. But it answered the question, what it is to be a practicing Catholic. And what it did was it rattled off all the minimum things that you need to do. You need to go to confession once a year, communion once a year. You need to keep the fast of the year. And what are the fasts of the year reduced to in the Roman Catholic Church? It said it in the video, 2 days. Ash Wednesday, Holy Friday. 2 days. Minimalism. To be a practicing Catholic. Official doctrine. Promoted on Facebook to the people of this country. We look at Protestantism, and there are so many different versions, so many different directions people are going, following so many different leaders. But in every case, it's a diminution of the faith. It's a lessening of the faith. Tossing out this, tossing out that. Keeping what we like, getting rid of what we don't like. Redefining everything about Christ and God and our own humanity to whatever way we want it to be. You know, the Lord says to us in the Gospel, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, but do not do what I say? Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? Did we not drive out demons in your name and perform many miracles? Then I will tell you plainly, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness." You workers of lawlessness. This is what's happening in American Christianity. We have left the commandments of Christ. We accept baptism, but we don't accept the other part of the Great Commission to teach and observe everything that he's commanded to us. No, we're gonna pick and choose. And even in baptism, by those who name their denomination by that name, Baptists, they don't even offer the fullness of the sacrament to their people. They don't baptize children. The Lord says, "Let the children come to me. Stop forbidding them. Let them come to me." And why? Why are they forbidden? It makes no sense. From the earliest age, do we not give our children everything that is good for them? The most important things. Don't we, as soon as they get their first little tooth, start brushing that tooth so vigorously? Right? Don't we feed them the best foods? Don't we try to put them in the best schools, give them the best clothes, place to live? We give them everything that we can possibly give to them. But you can't give them baptism. You can't give them immersion into the life of Christ. You can't give them the grace of the Holy Spirit. You can't give them these things. Why? Because we need to let them choose for themselves when they get older. And then what do they choose? But just the opposite. They choose to follow somebody else because they haven't been taught the most important thing, which is immersion into the life of Christ. They were robbed of their baptism. Now, hate to move there, but we got to talk about the Orthodox. How much are we immersed into the life of Christ? Our church tells us all the time that we need to be immersed. That we need to be 100% Christians. Not 50%, 10%, 1%. We need to be Christians all the time, in every place, in every circumstance. The Lord calls us to this in our baptism, in our chrismation in which we're anointed in every part of our body, in Holy Communion in which we receive God within ourselves and we enter into Him. Becoming part of his body. You can't be more immersed in God than becoming part of his body. St. Paul says, pray without ceasing. Never break your communion with God. The Lord says, teach and observe everything I've commanded you. We need to be immersed, and the church will constantly teach us that, even though we hear so many other voices of reductionism in Christianity. Of secularism, relativism, and materialism in the world. We hear all of these other voices. I want to close with an analogy for you. We talked about this great circle, and we're all on the rim of the circle. We need to be immersed into the life of Christ. What better illustration than the baptismal fonts? Think about what just happened today. We had someone from the world enter into the life of Christ, enter into the kingdom of God. And it was a traumatic experience, right? Right? Heard some tears, right? Maybe a gasp. You know, it was not an easy thing. It's not an easy thing to die and rise with Christ. And we saw something of a splash, right? So there was an excitement to it too. Right? There was a displacement. Because what was in the world entered into what is of heaven. And what is in heaven spread out into the world. We saw this great grace pouring down upon us, coming into our lives. You know, this font is too small for all of us. We've got a pool here that should probably accommodate us. Think about us all standing on the rim, right? And think about us getting more people in Berlin and Salisbury, Fenwick, and everywhere, getting these people here to church for immersion into the life of Christ that the Orthodox Church offers to them. How are we going to get them in those waters? Are we going to push them in? Can you compel someone to follow the life of Christ? No. Think about, you know, our kids. They're going to go swimming today. They'll be standing around the edge. Lifeguard will be there. Everything will be good. We'll say our prayer. And then they'll want to see if the water is warm, right? If it's good for them. They maybe put their toe in it. What's the best way that they can encourage one another to enter into those waters? To jump in. To make a splash. To have those waters splash on their friends. So they can feel the warmth of that water, the excitement, the refreshing aspect of that pool. Brothers and sisters, that is what we are supposed to be doing, not on the day just of our baptism, but every single day, every single moment of our life, to be immersed in the life of Christ. And that grace, it'll spread out, and it will encourage people to enter into that same life in Christ. We're called to immersion, 100%. Now, some of you who are on our mailing list and on our Facebook page heard that there was a special announcement that was to be made today. There is an announcement. I'm going to give it to you now. But I give it to you at the end of the sermon within this context. Because otherwise, we won't understand it. And we won't be changed by it. You know, sometimes we stand on the rim of the baptismal font, the edge of the pool, and the outer perimeter of that circle. And we know that life in Christ is where it's at. We know we need to be immersed. We know we need to fulfill our baptism. But we don't somehow have the courage to do it. Because it is hard, it is traumatic. There is a challenge to it. But then we see somebody else jump in and do a cannonball out of nowhere and just surprise us and splash us with this grace. And it re-inspires us. And it recalls us to what our mission is. This is happening right now. As someone anonymously is paying off our mortgage. $318,000 is being paid off. Why? Because of immersion into Christ. This is what they want for their life. This is what the church tells them is there for their life. And this is what's there for all of our lives. Don't think just about the money. Think about the person and their mind, their heart, and their will. Think about their union with Christ. Realize the power that's there in our Christian faith. Not reductionism, but maximalism. Think about the power of the gospel to change this community by this act. And if we are on board, how much change we can do in the world. A world which is so saddened and disappointed and frustrated and angry following false gods and false leaders. Brothers and sisters, we've been given the Great Commission. That Great Commission to be baptized, to be immersed into the life of Christ, to teach and to observe everything that He's commanded us. Because He is still with us, working what is beyond our comprehension, beyond our wildest dreams in our midst, not just on the day of Pentecost, but every single day. Not just in Jerusalem, but here in Berlin, for the salvation of the whole world. Brothers and sisters, this is a special day. Be renewed, be re-immersed, and help the world to be renewed and immersed in Christ. Glory to Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.